Lord, may we hear your voice and follow you this day. Amen. When love stirs in our lives, it's always a surprise. It often disrupts the things that we like to do. Whether it's finding a life partner or having children, love is that kind of interruption that helps us become the kind of person we were always meant to be. In our readings today, we hear and see love interrupt all manner of people's lives. It interrupts John of Patmos, who has a vision. But rather than seeing a lion on the throne, he encounters a lamb. It interrupts Peter, who encounters the risen Christ while out fishing, of all things. Saul is interrupted on his way to Damascus. People living their most ordinary, their most routine, and even their worst lives possible. God intervenes in order to bring out their best. And so today I'd like to explore Saul's story. But first, we need to get a sense of the broader context. Jesus came into a world where bringing God's healing and wholeness was simply beyond the capacity of those who were responsible for doing so. The authorities that ran the temple were more concerned with preserving their power and position, while the Pharisees who ran the synagogues urged faithful people to withdraw from others so they might avoid being judged and destroyed. And so what does Jesus do? Well, Luke tells us through the book of Acts, through his gospel, that Jesus heals all manner of people with unclean spirits, women who are ill, and lepers who are touched. He calls tax collectors to his side, and he heals the slaves of foreign centurions. He lets a woman he's not married to touch his feet, and he goes out of his way to meet a Gentile who is so filled with evil spirits that he lives among the dead. Everything that any good Pharisee considered sinful and wrong, Jesus touched and healed and affirmed. His ministry simply unleashes this new creation. Love took the world as it was and made it what it was always meant to be. Jesus showed that compassion and mercy is the truth of God. But those who opposed him thought that God only loved those who were perfect and obedient. And so they killed this Jesus for being a blasphemer who seemed to threaten to lead the nation astray. They did not want this new creation because they liked the old one. This is what makes the resurrection so surprising and so important. It's surprising because life overcomes death when God raises Jesus from the dead. It's important because the authorities who purported to know God actually didn't know God in the slightest. Which brings us to the book of Acts, where we find this kingdom, this life, this love cannot and will not be contained. A whirlwind follows and the floodgates just open. Jewish people from the east and the west, the north and the south hear the apostles and they join into God's kingdom. Converts from Greek families join God's kingdom. The Samaritans, those ancient enemies who were seen by those in Jerusalem as an untrustworthy distorters of the faith, join God's kingdom. An Ethiopian eunuch traveling south is met by the road and joins God's kingdom. An astute reader might ask, well, has God lost all their standards? Since when did God's expectations sink so low as to include people who weren't part of Abraham's family and those who should be barred from God's presence? How low can these standards go? Well, let me tell you about Saul, says Luke. Saul believed he was faithful. He knew God's law and he kept God's law. What's more, he was no wuss when it came to being prepared to kill for God's law, to make sure that God's holiness was undiminished. Chances are, when Jesus was killed, Saul was there. And when Stephen, the first deacon, was executed, Saul held the coats of those who picked up the stone. Saul knew the difference between truth and falsehood, light and darkness, sin from glory. And having cleaned up Jerusalem, he set his sights on Damascus to prove his love for God by disposing of all those who followed in the way of Christ. Saul feared that Christians would ruin the nation. And so no one, nothing, would stop Saul from destroying God's enemies. Putting the whole murder thing aside, people aren't that different today, are they? People are still confident that they know everything without understanding anything. So many people think they can see the sin of others and believe that real strength means putting truth before love. But here we see Saul walking to Damascus with all his entourage, and he is interrupted by love. The interruption is not polite. Love is no wallflower. Trapped in his hubris and blind to everything, love shakes Paul to his sandals so that he might rethink everything. Sometimes this is the only way to get through all that fear that surrounds someone. It's an encounter that pushes Saul from pride to humility, from certainty into doubt, from bias into curiosity, from validation into discovery. And it calls Saul not only to rethink Paul, God's nature, but the whole trajectory of his life. Saul goes from a position of pride to one of humility. There's a flash of light and a voice from heaven which singularly fingers this man by name. The man who pulled down others is flattened in his tracks. The voice, it's so interesting what the voice says. When we hear angels and God speak throughout Luke's gospel, how does it usually begin? Do not fear. But there's none of this with Saul. The voice says, Saul, Saul, why are you hurting me? And Saul is confused. God is speaking, but God shouldn't be saying this. If anything, God should be thanking him for getting rid of all of God's enemies. But that's not what God says. Who are you? Saul replies. This disembodied voice puts on concrete flesh in a moment. I am Jesus. Saul's rampage is not limited to flesh and blood. It wounds Christ too. For when anyone is injured, it's not just them, but Christ himself who is wounded. When we say we are the body of Christ, this is what we are talking about. So let those who want to chase rainbow Christians out of the church ponder that for a moment. Every confidence, every certainty and every conviction that Saul had disappeared in a moment. The man who breathed threats and murder against others is now blind and speechless and helpless. And as Jesus lay in the grave for 3 days, so Saul lies in the dark without food or water for 3 days too. Have you ever wondered what he was thinking about during that time? Struck blind, Saul is plunged into doubt. Doubt is so often presented as the opposite of faith, a crisis that brings fear and loneliness and loss. But in fact, doubt is more often a doorway, a painful but necessary thing that enables us to grow as we step from one place into another. Caught in doubt, Saul does something that we seldom do. He prays. I wonder if Saul thought that this experience was all about judgment, that God was going to kill him and end the life of this miserable sinner. But God gives Saul a vision instead. A man would come, lay hands upon him, and his sight would be restored. Simple. Of course, God needs to get to Ananias. So Ananias receives a vision also. He's not only told who to find, but where to find him. I have heard about this man, Ananias said, as if to say, are you sure, God? You really want this one? Can you imagine how much doubt that must have stirred in Ananias? One minute, he's making plans to try and get Christians out of the synagogues in Damascus because Saul is coming. And now he's the one who must go and not only meet this murderer, but heal him. If you've been asleep so far, here is the most important part. Love not only looks into the deepest part of our souls, it brings out those things that we never knew that lay within us. God knew something about Saul. God saw something within Saul that not even Saul knew about. And so in a flash, Ananias has a vision of this person's future. It's not going to be Peter who will woo the authorities and welcome the Gentiles into God's kingdom. It will be this person, a person who wanted a pure and devout nation, who despised outsiders and sinners, a person who held the cloaks while they killed a follower of Jesus. Instead of judgment, Saul is interrupted by love. Love disrupts. It disrupted Ananias too. It provoked him to go and find this person, Saul. And it is only through curiosity that discovery ever unfolds. Have you ever noticed that those who are convinced that they know everything stay home and discover nothing? But here we see Ananias and Saul not only discovering how much they had to learn about God, they discovered each other. "Brother Saul," said Ananias, "not sinner, not murderer, but brother. The Lord Jesus who saw you has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit," he says. Ananias saw that God had come and claimed and embraced this person, that God's kingdom would not be constrained or contained even by someone as murderous and as self-righteous as this Saul. In fact, God's kingdom would grow through this person, which is what John's vision is all about. You don't get the myriads before God's throne if it wasn't for this person called Saul. This man who thought he could see God clearly, but who is actually blind, now sees God for who he is, that Jesus is the Son of God. And so the one who came to kill Christians becomes a missionary for their cause. The one who is struck blind helps us to see. The church in Australia is so filled with fear that it is practically blind. It is so filled with fear that it almost refuses totally to talk about love. We'd rather talk about hope and faith because we can control those things. But love interrupts all our plans. It takes humility to love, because pride stands no chance in the face of love. With love, the future always outweighs the past. With love, we always give somebody else the benefit of the doubt. Maybe God can do something with someone like this Saul. With love, there is always something new to be discovered. It brings things out of places so deep that everyone will be amazed and blessed. So you can see why we need to talk about love, why we need to let love in, why we need to follow love each and every day. Because who knows what kind of gifts will be discovered when love interrupts all our lives. Amen.